How long, my God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O God, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to you, O God, because you have dealt bountifully with me. The New Testament reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 40 through 42, which come near the end of a long chapter in which Jesus is commissioning the 12 disciples and sending them out two by two to minister. And he says to them, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Thus endeth the reading.
Thank you, Mark. Repeated over and over in the psalm that Mark read for us are the words, how long, my God? How long, my God? The psalmist cries out over and over and over. How long, my God, will you forget me forever? The psalmist begins. And I wonder about those words. How long, my God, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? I wonder if those were words that were on the lips of those, or on the hearts or on the minds of those who are outside of Stonewall Inn 51 years ago today. In 1969, it was still illegal, still criminal in almost every state in the U.S. to be gay. Even in progressive New York City, it was illegal to solicit same-sex relations. To gather gay people together was deemed to be by New York City statutes an action of disorderly conduct. Thus, to gather together was to risk arrest and risk harassment. So early in the morning of June 28, 1969, police descended on Stonewall Inn. It had happened before. It would happen again. But it did not happen before with the ferocity that it came on that early morning. They were rougher than before, and they began to arrest more people. They began to harass more people. And you wonder how many of the people then forced outside on the streets were saying in their hearts or on their lips, how long, my God? How long, my God, must we endure such assaults on our being? How long, my God, have you forgotten me completely? Who would know? Who would know that this police raid was to be, in many ways, the final straw? That when the patrons refused to be treated as less than, that a spark would indeed be struck? Who would know that when Marsha Johnson, a Black, bisexual, trans woman who was also a sex worker, said enough and threw a brick at a harassing cop, that the movement that we now know today as Pride was being birthed in that very moment? Who would know that from this moment and the 6 days of protest that followed, June 28, 1969, that the LGBTQ plus rights movement would come into the forefront? The Gay Liberation Front was formed right after that. GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, now known as the Human Rights Campaign, came into being soon after. PFLAG, parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays. In these days of pandemic and protest, may we remember just how bleak it was to have, must have been, on that morning of June 28, 1969, outside a gay bar, the Stonewall Inn, and where we have indeed come. And yet, even as we now, 51 years later, can say, look at where we have come, look at the progress that can be made, we know that in the days that followed after that, in the years and the decades that followed after that, things were not so smooth sailing at all. How long, my God, the psalmist cries, and we know that people cried as well, will you hide your face from me? Despite the formation of all of the LGBTQ plus rights organizations that came into being after Stonewall, the savaging of this community continued. And when AIDS entered into the forefront, it was not just people's lives that are now being taken, but it was an entire community that was now being scapegoated, treated as pariahs, touted as God's punishment for one's orientation and identity. And I wonder, for those sitting in the hospital next to the bed where a partner dies a difficult death, how many were saying, how long, my God? How long, my God, will you hide your face from me? And yet it is from this moment that another awakening happens, and organizations like ACT UP, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, come into being. Refusing stigmatization, refusing to be silent, their efforts and those of so many others that bring us to a point today that AIDS, though still a horrible reality, can, with the right medical help, be managed. And folks are living with a disease that, for decades now, that not so long ago would have given them less than a year. From this moment of that pandemic's beginning there in the 80s, as the specter of AIDS dawns, there's a mother who sews a quilt, and then another is sewn, and then another. And soon there are enough quilts that fill the entire National Mall, and as much of a tragedy that is that there are so many who have we have lost, and we have so many quilts, it is still so amazing to see all of those quilts laid out there on the wall, so massive that there is no longer space large enough for all of them. A reminder of life that should not have been lost indeed, but a reminder as well that it is love alone. It is love alone that can transform the life of a person who has been seen by way too many as other to one who is now one of our own. And yet we know the pain still continues. How long, my God, the psalmist continues to cry, must I bear pain in my soul? Must I have sorrow in my heart all the day long? How long, my God, can we endure the efforts to impede the progress that has been made? Here in Hawaii, in the 1990s, Hawaii becomes the first state to recognize same-sex marriage. And in the very same decade, a constitutional amendment is passed that allows that which they had just put into law. And Hawaii is not alone in that. States like California and Florida and Arizona follow suit, making historic steps forward only to take steps back. How long, my God? How long, my God, when we get so close, must we bear such pain in our soul? Then, 5 years ago plus 2 days, the Supreme Court rules in favor of the right nationally, no longer determined just by states, but determined as a nation, of the right to same-sex marriage. Michelle Obama recently reflected on that day, a day 5 years ago in 2 days when she and her daughter Malia snuck out of the White House to be with the crowds that were celebrating as a rainbow of lights went on to the White House and as this was signed into law. And Michelle Obama recently reflected on the day, saying, thinking back to that day reminds me of how much strength we can find in one another, in good times and in bad. We've seen it again over these past few weeks. Our grief and anger have been channeled into passionate protest. Lifelong organizers and first-time marchers of all backgrounds are joining hands and pushing for change. And we're beginning to have new conversations and see the start of some real measurable progress. It makes me think back to nights like this one 5 years ago, a night that reminds us that the fight is worth it, because a fairer, more just, more loving world is always possible. Indeed, a fairer, more just, more loving world is always possible. Yet there are those who refuse to hear that clarion call, that call to a more loving, a more just world. And so it is the fate of so many in our communities, our neighbors, our friends, our family members found themselves waiting upon the Supreme Court again this very year. How long, my God, how long will my enemies seek to be exalted over me? And so it is with joy and a huge sigh of relief that this court surprised us all and just 2 weeks ago ruled that Civil Rights Act upheld all of the rights for our LGBTQ+ family. Yet we know the challenges are not over. The days of crying, how long, my God, are not forever behind us. As our own moderator-elect Fu shared with us when he joined the church a year ago, he said that in every faith community that he has been, he has always had allies. But when he walked through the doors of Church of the Crossroads, this is the first one in which he didn't have to be brave in order to survive. As our own Adam Forrester, who shared with us a few years ago when he had just been coming to the church for a few months and he was a lector, and he talked about the first time that he walked into Church of the Crossroads was the day in which he was figuring out how to commit suicide because he could no longer live with the turmoil that existed in his life and in the world because he was gay. And it was on that day coming into this church that he said that he had another lease on life and came back again and again. And again, the days of crying out, how long, O Lord, are not behind us. For too many people, despite the progress being made, they do not feel free to celebrate with their family, with their friends, with their community, who God has made them to be. To this day, trans members of are being murdered at alarming rates just for having the audacity to be who God has called them to be. And so it is essential that the struggle is conducted not just in the streets with protests, not just in the courts with legal battles, but that there be spaces not just of safety, but spaces of celebration and welcome. Spaces that will proclaim that we are indeed a diverse community of people, diverse in age, gender, abilities, sexual orientations, and sexual identities, diverse in theological and political beliefs, diverse in different socioeconomic and ethnic backgrounds. Spaces that will celebrate and find strength in that diversity and view it as a way to understand the inclusiveness of God. For though we are many members, indeed, as we say, we are one body in Christ. For as Matthew says, to welcome one another is to welcome Jesus and to welcome God with whom Jesus is utterly home. We need spaces that will recognize in word and deed that within both the church and the larger society, persons who differ in gender, social and ethnic background, sexual orientation or sexual identity, and physical or mental ability have historically suffered persecution and continue to experience negative stereotypes, indifference to their needs and rejection. And therefore, as part of that body of Christ, we are called to love one another, to do justice, to bring release to the oppressed, and to walk humbly with our God. We need spaces that will commit themselves as a community of Christian people to seek to end the continuing injustice of institutional discrimination, instances of violence and denial of civil rights protection towards persons who differ in age, gender, social and ethnic background, sexual orientation or sexual identity, and physical and mental ability, spaces that will be, as Matthew says, a cup of cold water that which renews those parched by a sometimes indifferent and often callous and hateful world. Spaces that will affirm that all such persons are welcome within the life of our church, to contribute their time, their energy, and gifts to our common mission, including employment and leadership of the congregation. Furthermore, we seek to understand and respond to their special needs as they seek personal integrity, acceptance by their families, the church, and the community, and the development of committed partnerships. Such was the space with those very words declared when these words were made into covenant on March 8, 1992 at 1212 University Avenue, when this church said, "Therefore, we, the members, we, the Church of the Crossroads, declare ourselves to be an open and affirming church," and have affirmed such a covenant every year since then. So I stand here on Zoom with you all, humbled to share worship today with our own pioneers, with Eldon and Don and Mark and so many others of you out there in the Zoom sphere who were there in 1992 and helped to make this a reality. Without you, we would not be who we are. I am proud to share with the many of you whose cries for justice, the very cries that called us to be an open and affirming church now almost 30 years ago, now find those cries intersecting and connected with the voices of Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Cries for reform, cries for recognition, cries to be seen, cries to be heard, cries to be valued, cries to be believed. How long, O God? How long, O God? We do not know. But we know this, we are not alone. The way of love is the only way, and the root of all of our love is the very steadfast love. How long, O God, we do not know. As long as it takes, we shall walk with you in steadfast love. We shall walk with one another in steadfast love. Amen.
Together, weave us together.